Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 66. Yadyasya vani siddham syad. Yena yatra yato nripa. Sate ne heta karyani. Naro nanya anapadi. Yat, whatever. Yasya, of a man. Va, either. Anisidam, not forbidden. Syat, it is so. Yena, by which means. Yatra, in place and time. Yataha, from whom. Ripa, O king. Saha, such a person. Tena, by such a person. Process. Iheta, should perform. Karyani, prescribed activities. Naraha, a person. Na, not. Anyai, by other means, by other ways. Anapadi, in the absence of danger. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In normal conditions, in the absence of danger, O King Yudhisthira, a man should perform his prescribed duties according to his status of life with the things, endeavors, process, and living place that are not forbidden for him and not by any other means.
Purport.
Instruction is given for men in all statuses of life. Generally, society is divided into brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, sannyasis, and grihasthas. Everyone must act according to his position and try to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that will make one's life successful. This is instructed in Narma Sharanya, Adak Pumbir, Dvijashesta, Vanashrama Vibhagashaha, Svanustitasya Dharmasya, Samsidir Haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste and divisions of life, caste divisions and orders of life, to please the Lord Hari. Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Everyone should act according to his occupational duties just to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone will be happy. The souls have come to this world out of rebellion against Krishna. Therefore, the beginning of making some advancement is to act dutifully, or act under Krishna's direction. There are two types of direction for Krishna, called Swadharma. One direction is to follow the varna and ashram, that everyone has a particular body, particular mentality, and that should be engaged in sacrifice. Now in a sacrifice, someone has to bring the ingredients, someone has to arrange the sacrifice, someone has to chant the mantras. But they're all engaged in sacrifice. Therefore, Yagya Vai Vishnu is there for everyone. But if the person is supposed to bring the ingredients for the sacrifice, they wind up trying to chant the mantras for the sacrifice without proper training, that will not work out very well. And if one doesn't have the capacity to even remember what the verses are to chant, then better they do something else and assist the sacrifice. Similarly, if one doesn't know how to even arrange, they're put on two of the same colored socks, and yet they're going to arrange a very elaborate Vedic sacrifice, that also wouldn't work out quite well. Therefore, everyone had their duties to perform in order that the sacrifice would go on successfully. But if one decided to do someone else's duty, that even if they did it better than the other person, that was not considered by Krishna to be very auspicious. As he says twice in Bhagavad Gita, Shreyan swadamo viguna paradharma sunustita she dharme nididam shayak paradharmo bayavaha. That it's much better to perform one's prescribed duties even imperfectly than perform someone else's duty even perfectly. Destruction, the cause of one's own duties, is better because to follow someone else's duties is dangerous. So when we follow someone else's duty, not only we're doing the wrong duty, but we may even be taking over their service, their duty. So we get two reactions, one for not doing our proper duty, another reaction for doing someone else's duty. With the idea that one activity in the material world is better than another. But all activities in the material world, unless they're performed to satisfy Krishna, then they're equally useless. Therefore, before we transcend, first of all, we have to properly ascend through the modes of material nature. Therefore, for those who are in suffering, it is very difficult, and they're suffering because they're breaking the laws of nature, especially the four sinful activities of illicit sex, intoxication, eating, and gambling. So we know what happens, as Krishna says, dhyayato vishyam pumsam, sangas teshu pujayate, sangas chan sanjayate kama, kama krodo bujayate, krodo bhavati samoha, samaha smriti vibramsat, smriti bramsat buddhinasho, buddhinashat pranashati. That when we're not engaged properly, that means at any time, because Maya is right there, Krishna bahirmukha bhogavanchatare, nikatasta tare japatiyadare. That Maya, as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, Krishna bahirmukha, we turn our face away from Krishna, Krishna bahirmukha bhoga, vancha tare, and vancha means desires, and we want to enjoy bhoga. It's things that are not offered to Krishna. Nikatasta, Maya is right there with us, as Krishna is in our heart, so Maya is also there. Nikatasta, nikatasta, tare, japatiyadare. And then Maya puts us into illusion, into the material concept of life. And there are different stages of illusion, beginning with simply being unemployed. Or as it says, idleness is the devil's workshop. An idle brain is the devil's workshop. So when we have nothing to do, then Maya will invite us. Oh, you have nothing to do? Well, I have some things for you to do. As it says at the beginning of creation, Brahma created man. But he was very unenthusiastic because he had nothing to do. But then Brahma created woman, and he was engaged 25 hours a day. So an idle brain is a devil's workshop. And that will automatically, one will look around, and Maya will invite one, will point out so many sense objects. You can enjoy this, you can enjoy that. Go window shopping, surf the internet, find something to enjoy with your eyes, with your tongue, with your whatever. And then that spirit of enjoyment When we want that spirit of enjoyment, the Maya supplies in the form of lust. By nature, the living entity is impelled by love for Krishna, by the happiness and the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. But if Krishna is not there, then one is impelled by lust. And if we satisfy lust, which is never satisfied and burns like fire, then it turns into greed. If we think that object made us happy, then we want more of it, because we'll never be completely satisfied by any material object. So then we want more and more and more until it doesn't satisfy us anymore, or we can't get any more, or we lose what we had, and then we become angry, frustrated. The thing that was making me happy doesn't make me happy anymore, or I can't get any more of what makes me happy, or what makes me happy, I lost it. And we feel frustrated. And between the lust, which is generally known as romance, then we have greed, which is a great passion endeavor to have unlimited sense gratification, and then frustration, anger. So this is material existence. And in order to make it more interesting, then there is delusion. We create this whole drama in which we're the hero or the heroine, that we're taking part in some wonderful play, and we forget more and more who we actually are, and our intelligence is lost. So the more we're engaged in sense gratification unrestrictedly, the more we're greedy and lusty and angry and frustrated and deluded, the more we forget who we actually are, then the more we are absorbed in material existence. Real knowledge is that we're Krishna's servant. But when we forget that, or we think something else, that's called avidya. And when we're under the spell of avidya, then we're under the spell of asmita, or false ego. And asmita puts us into the control of attachment and aversion in the material world, which culminates in absorption in material consciousness and abhinivesita. That is fear that we're going to die, that I only have so many moments or years left to live, and after that everything is zero, so let me squeeze in whatever happiness I can during this few remaining years or days or whatever I have, so I'll be happy during that time. So this is called abhinivesita. Bhayam dvitiya abhinivesita syat ishat abhitasya vipariyo smriti. That as soon as one turns one's face away from Krishna, then immediately Maya will come and turn things around. Instead of thinking ourselves to be Krishna's servant, then we'll think Krishna is our competitor. That Krishna has so many gopis, so maybe he has 16,108 gopis, well maybe I could at least get 8. Krishna dances with so many gopis, maybe I can dance with a few of them too. Krishna has enough, why does he need everyone? Why does he need all of them? And Krishna can lift Govardhan Hill, so I'm practicing, I'm up to 500 kilos. Soon, who knows, you know, hills, mountains, whatever. So, what is Bhayam Dvitiya? But as soon as Bhayam Dvitiya Binivesitasya, as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then the result is we become Bhayam, we become full of fear, because we think we're this body. And tick, 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 the body's about to die. When the Roman emperors would conquer vast kingdoms, they come home to Rome with their slaves and all their different jewels and the gold that they captured, and the Roman emperor or the leader would be riding in the head chariot, and everyone would be cheering, but the Roman emperor would have someone next to him whispering into his ear, that you're mortal. You're going to die. Don't get too attached. So we need someone next to our ear. Beep, beep. You're not here forever. Don't get too attached. Do your duty. Don't be thinking, well, I don't like my duty. Someone else has a better duty. Let me do their duty. That's modern society. You can be whatever you want. You're born in the gutter, and somehow or another, you work hard enough, you'll become the president. And after you become the president, soon you'll be in the gutter again. But anyhow, the idea is that if you work hard enough, you can do anything you want. You can become an atomic scientist. You can become a cook. You become an Olympic runner, whatever. Just try hard. This delusion that if you're a Volkswagen, if you try hard enough, you can become a Rolls Royce. Just imagine. Think that you're a Rolls Royce and you're as good as being a Rolls Royce, although you're a Volkswagen. As I mentioned, that they were interviewing students at the University of Oregon in Portland, in Oregon, America, one of the states. And they were interviewing students and asking the students that here I am. It was a man who was around 5'10", which is like 170 centimeters or something. How much is 5'10"? 180 centimeters. And he was saying, asking the students that, here I am, you know, whoever you think I am, but I imagine that I'm a 6'10" woman, basketball player, Chinese. So would you believe me if I told you that I'm a 6'10" Chinese woman basketball player? And the students would say, sure, if that's the way you feel, of course. Whatever you feel like, then we accept it. So they even put it into practice. They have trans, whatever they call them. They have men who've become women, competing against the women in all the different sports in America. Needless to say, the women always lose. But it's equality. It's all equality. I saw it. Someone sent me that there's one lady who's gotten the most medals for running. And she has, like, for the 400-meter dash, something like 46 seconds or something. And there's, like, 380 high school students, males, who run faster than she does. So you put a man, one of these high school students, and you say, well, actually, I think I'm a woman. Then she loses every time. But that's equality. Everyone could, whatever you feel like, whatever you think yourself, you can be that thing. I think I'm Godzilla, or whatever. Or I'm Dracula. And your throat looks very inviting. Could I have a bite? Don't be greedy. So there's all madness because people have lost their intelligence. Therefore, a Shudra, at least a real Shudra, realizes I'm a fool, I'm a rascal. I should at least work under the directions of higher authorities, so to some extent my senses and mind will be controlled. I'll do my duty. Otherwise, I may degrade myself into becoming less than an animal. And as progress goes on through the modes of nature, one not only does his duty, but that duty expands in the Vaishya community. And that duty is protect the cows, because the cows are essential for sacrifice. Krishna likes cows. And he likes the ghee offered to the sacrifice, which comes from the milk of the cows. And as that expands, one not only protects the animals, but one protects the Brahmins and other living entities who are involved in sacrifice. And then the Brahmins protect everyone by giving the knowledge which is necessary for sacrifice. So the whole idea is Yagyavai Vishnu, Jagnatat Kamanonyatra, Lokayam Karma Bandhanai, Tararatam Apikondiya Mukta Sangha Samachara. That work, which is done as a sacrifice for Vishnu, it has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to the material world. Of course, people think nowadays, what's the big deal being bound to the material world? I like it. As I keep on mentioning, one lady, college student, when Prabhupada was giving a lecture saying that if you act like a dog, then you'll become a dog. And the student raised her hand and said, Swamiji, you say if I act like a dog, I'll become a dog. But I just want you to know that I don't mind if I become a dog. I want to become a dog. So Prabhupada raised his hand and said, you have my blessings. So if one really wants to become a dog, then material nature will give one all opportunities. Whatever species of life we qualify for, that body will attain in our next life, without fail. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, tyajan tyantikare valam, tam tam evaiti kontiya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever we think of a time of death, when quitting this body, that body will attain without any fail. So according to what we do, that's what we'll think about. And according to what we think about, we'll get our next body. But people are not sufficiently educated to understand the danger of getting a body in the lower species of life. Become a dog, people wouldn't mind. Okay, one life I'll be a dog, the next life I'll be a king. No, you become a dog, you'll be a dog for a long time. You have to go through all the dog different varieties. One day you're a shepherd, German shepherd. The next day you're a chihuahua. What's that? So it's not very pleasant. If you become a dog in Slovenia, in the house of a rich person, maybe you think for that lifetime it's very nice, but you may take birth as a dog in India, and the little kid's throwing rocks at you. There's nothing to eat. You're competing with the pigs for indescribable food. Of course, as Prabhupada said, when a pig is eating stool, he's thinking it's like halva. He doesn't think, oh, this is abominable, but I'm hungry. No, for him, he gets the sweetness out of the stool. That's what his body is made for. But I don't think we want to trade, you know, our body for that of a pig. Even if the food is probably more readily available. I don't think a pig will ever starve to death. But there's no opportunity to actually find out who we are, which is, in order to do that, it means we have to perform some kind of sacrifice for Vishnu. Vishnu has to be in the center. Of course, all this business about Vanashram, some devotees are really into it. They think if you learn karate, then you become a kshatriya or something. If you know how to fight, then you're a kshatriya. But that's not exactly what a kshatriya entails. There are qualities that one has to develop. Most of them are in the mode of goodness. So similarly, if we want to, in this age, make advancement either through the modes of nature or after that, through liberation to the spiritual realm of existence, then the only thing in this age is to chant in the holy name. There's no other way. But in the meantime, we should also find out what our duty is, and that's assigned by assisting the Sankirtan movement. This temple is meant to assist the Sankirtan movement. When people come to the temple, they're not going to hear the Beatles, hopefully. They hear Prabhupada or the devotees chanting the holy name. We worship the deities here. Everything is centered around Krishna. So in that way, it's yajna, yajna vai Vishnu. And outside the temple, our business is to also give people Krishna, principally through the chanting of the holy names and the literature that describe the holy names. And giving Krishna in the form of prasadam, which is his spiritual energy, meant to stop the desire for lording it over the material nature and develop this desire to please Krishna, to love the spiritual nature. So, there's no need, stane sita shudikatam tanuvangmano bira. There's no need to do anything different than what we're supposed to do, but we should do it for Krishna, that's all. Under the guidance of Krishna's representatives. We should do what we're supposed to do to please Krishna, and whatever that might be, then our life will become successful. And if we try to do something that we're not supposed to do, then it'll simply be a struggle. And everyone in the material world has struggled against material nature, has always lost, eventually. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I'm wondering if a Volkswagen becomes a devotee and you gave the analogy of Volkswagen and
becoming a Rolls Royce.
A Rolls Royce, yeah.
I don't think a Volkswagen will become a devotee.
Well, I'm taking your analogy. If a Volkswagen becomes a devotee and works on qualities in devotional service, develops his qualities and character, can he become better than Rolls Royce?
Doesn't mean he'll change his service is. His consciousness can become better than a Rolls Royce. In other words, devotee doesn't mean that I'm a devotee and now I've gotten four arms or three heads now that I've practiced devotional service. It means my consciousness changes. Then I don't think myself to be a Rolls Royce or a Volkswagen. I think myself to be Krishna's eternal servant. And therefore, the real person wakes up. In the material world, if I think we're a Brahmin, then I'm also in illusion. But if a Brahmin thinks he's Krishna's servant, then he's properly situated. Similarly, if a Shudra thinks that they're eternal servants of Krishna, they're as good as a Brahmin. Because it's the driver that's important, not the car. Anything else? Have a do to Roy Brew. Welcome.
Yeah, we have some questions from the internet.
Is that a do to Roy?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Says, Hare Krishna, today only a few very burning questions.
First okay, question. Make sure you don't burn the iPad. It's expensive.
Queen Kunti says she suffered more than Devaki, but how is it that she speaks of suffering if the unique quality of bhakti is to destroy suffering?
Because if suffering helps us remember Krishna, then we'll be out of illusion. Our real suffering is caused by misidentification with this body, which is the source of suffering. But if we're suffering out of separation from Krishna and Krishna appears, then the result is that our suffering is diminished and eventually eliminated because of association with Krishna. We no longer experience material body, we experience Krishna. And Krishna is full of pleasure. So it's a question where we put our consciousness. We put it on this body, then we'll suffer because the body is a source of suffering. And if we focus our attention and give our love to Krishna, then we'll remember, then we'll experience great happiness. It's like if you have a toothache and you're suffering and the dentist's office is closed, but your favorite football game is on. So you gotta watch it. So you watch the football game and you forget that you were suffering because your attention is focused on the football game. But then afterwards, the football game's over and your team lost, you're depressed, and you suddenly remember you have a toothache. You start suffering again. So suffering or whatever else will depend upon what you're focusing your consciousness on. Anything else?
Yeah, there's another one. Kunti says she's a recipient of a special mercy of the Lord, but in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Shiva says to think like that and to consider oneself a dear devotee of the Supreme Lord is the function of the false ego. How to understand this contradiction?
I don't know. The person, Queen Kunti, thought herself to be a dear devotee of Krishna?
She says that she's a recipient of special mercy of the Lord.
Queen Kunti?
Yeah.
Well, that's true. She was recipient of special mercy. Otherwise, how does Krishna come and save her all the time in the Pandavas? They're not stupid. They understand Krishna's coming to save us, saving us from Draupadi, from Durvasa Muni, from the Kauravas, whatever. So she understood that. So she's not acting into false ego. She's, because she knows she's Krishna's servant, and she knows Krishna is reciprocating. So she's acting in reality. But if we think we're a great devotee when we're not, that's false ego. We think we're doing so many things, well actually it's Krishna is doing those things. So that's false ego. So one shouldn't think of himself as a great devotee, one should just try to become a devotee. Because whatever greatness is there is due to the acharyas and disciples' succession, as well as Krishna. And all we can become is an instrument. Try to get out of the way and let Krishna do it. Fulfill his mission. Utilizing his body, mind, and words, which we're misidentifying as ours. Anything else? Yes.
You've been speaking about performing our duty. Now, in a perfect system of Varnashrama, for example, of performing duties for Vishnu or Krishna, this willingness to perform your duty is connected with not being envious of somebody else's duties. So, in a perfect system, everybody would be satisfied with the ascribed duties they have and not being envious of their superior who are guiding them in performing those duties. And my question is, now Shudras, they might not be envious of Brahmanas. Brahmanas have nothing, no wealth, no wives, but they might be envious of Vaishyas and Kshatriyas. So if that's true, what I said before, how to reconcile now those
things? Well, if one is
things.
Doing engaged in sacrifice, then Krishna reciprocates, and one becomes happy and prosperous materially. So the Shudras got all the food they needed, they got the clothing they needed, they got all the material things that they wanted, that were necessary for them. And at the same time, they get the happiness of being involved in the sacrifice. So if you're happy, you're satisfied, you get everything you need, why you will become envious of anyone? Especially when people are generously giving to you what you need. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.